Welcome to another AAT podcast. In this podcast, I am discussing the issue of annual staff parties as we approach the festive season and need to think ahead in terms of booking our functions and budgeting for the true cost, including, of course, any income tax and Class 1, Class 1A, or Class 1B national insurance contribution implications. So let me begin with a rhyme. Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat. Please put a pound or two in the taxman's hat. Or do we really need to do that? Do we really need to pay the taxman anything at all? Of course, we might have to do that if we get it wrong. And we should be able to avoid paying anything at all if we think ahead, at least into some of the functions or gifts that we'll be considering. How much will the income tax in Class 1, Class 1A or Class 1B NICs cost be for that Christmas present, or the party, or the New Year ball that your employer or your client might want to give or provide to employees, perhaps as a gesture of goodwill for the festive season? As AAT members that have attended or will attend the coming Business Expenses CPD courses will hear, I am always going to say how important it is to remember the added cost of non-business expenditure and to consider the possibility of a tax exemption for removing that tax cost. And let's start at the beginning in terms of what our tax laws will permit. To be tax deductible or allowable, the expenditure must be expenses incurred wholly, exclusively, and necessarily in the performance of the duties, which clearly a seasonal gift or a party cannot be. The cost of travelling to or from home for a staff function, indeed even for a corporate function, is not an expense that is necessarily incurred on travelling in the performance of the duties of the employment. Neither is it expenses that are attributable to the employee's necessary attendance at any place in the performance of the duties of the employment. Employees may be performing on the dance floor, but they will not be performing in the duties of the employment. What that means is that we have to rely on a specific tax exemption if the liability is to be removed from the employee. I will touch briefly on a PAYE settlement agreement, or PSA, as a means of an employer picking up the tax bill for the employees. But AAT members can access the more detailed podcasts on PAYE settlement agreements for more information. Section 2, Seasonal Gifts. Christmas is a time for giving, and some employers do like to join in the festive spirit and, like the reformed Scrooge, give presents to employees, perhaps to ensure that there is some hearty fare on the table on Christmas Day. If an employer gives the employee a cash gift at Christmas or indeed at any time, that gift will be earnings and liable to income tax and Class 1 national insurance contributions, and that cash payment should be put through the payroll, whatever the amount. If an employer gives an employee a non-cash gift, and one that cannot be converted, say by resale, into cash, there will be no income tax consequences and no reporting requirement for a P90 employee, that is someone earning at a rate of less than £8,500 per annum. HMRC's guidance to its officers states the following: do not contend that any liability arises on small gifts in kind given by employers to employees who earn at a rate of less than £8,500 per year. If your employer gives a director or a P11D employee a non-cash gift, even one that cannot be converted into cash, there will be a reporting requirement at Section A of the P11D for transfer of assets, or Section M of the P11D for other items. If an employer gives employees a gift that can be sold or converted into cash, the resale value will be reportable on the form P11D, and the higher of the resale value or the cost will be reportable on form P11D. Well, that is the strict position. But let me now consider Section 210 of the Income Tax, Employment and Pensions Act 2003, because that confers on HM Revenue and Customs the power to exempt minor benefits that are being made generally available to all employees on similar terms. And the Employment Income Manual at EIM 21863 offers us some useful guidance on seasonal gifts. And I'll quote, it says, an employer may provide employees with a seasonal gift, such as a turkey, an ordinary bottle of wine, or a box of chocolates at Christmas. All of these gifts are considered to be trivial, and as such, are not taxable. For an employer with a large number of employees, the total cost of providing a gift to each employee may be considerable. But where the gift to each employee is a trivial benefit, this principle applies regardless of the total cost to the employer and the number of employees concerned. If a benefit is trivial, it should not be included in a PAYE settlement agreement. So that's good news. Now, whether an ordinary bottle of wine would be defined as a cheap non-vintage bottle of plonk is open to question. But further guidance from HMRC is to hand, and I quote, if the gift extends beyond one of the items mentioned above, for example, from a bottle or two to a case of wine, or from a turkey to a Christmas hamper, you will need to consider the contents and cost before being able to determine whether the benefit is trivial. In such cases, you should treat all the factors objectively and use your judgment. Now, we must also bear in mind the legislative requirement for the generosity to be on similar terms. How then would the HMRC officer react to the workers being given a £20 turkey if the directors receive a whole side of smoked salmon costing perhaps £100? The probable answer, of course, is that the salmon will be treated as a taxable benefit and the turkey will not. But it is a matter of judgment. It is also important to note that seasonal gifts might be given for different festivals than Christmas, perhaps for the Indian festival of Diwali or the Japanese Matsuri festival, and there are potentially many more. Small gifts, such as an arrangement of flowers, may be given at other times, including birthdays and the birth of a child. Also a gift on marriage, and none of these should be treated as a taxable benefit. Be warned, and by contrast, however, if flowers are given as a reward or a thank you, they will normally be taxable. So the employee that organises a function or an event, if she's given flowers as a thank you, then potentially those are taxable. Section 3, Annual Parties and Functions. A Christmas party or a New Year January ball may be a tax-efficient way of rewarding the staff, or at least of saying thank you for their efforts in the year gone by. Section 264 of ITPA 2003 exempts annual parties and functions that are provided for an employer's employees and is available to them generally, or available to them generally at a particular location. That latter point is quite important because it is not a requirement that staff in Aberdeen, Birmingham and or Cardiff have to travel, say, to the London head office party. Separate functions in separate parts of the country can still qualify, subject to the same conditions and monetary limits. This apparently very generous monetary limit of £150 cost per head may not go that far if the cost of travel and accommodation from Aberdeen, Birmingham or Cardiff had to be included, which it would if the journey and accommodation was specifically related to the provision of the Christmas party. The exemption is for the total cost per head of providing a party or function, and that includes any transport or accommodation incidentally provided for persons attending it. Then, of course, the total cost is divided by the number of persons attending. I must emphasise that it is the cost per attendee, not the cost per employee, which does make it even more generous if the employer allows the employees to take their spouses or partners. It's very important when reviewing these costs to be able to establish the total number of attendees at any potentially qualifying function. Now, something else that is very important is that the total cost for the purpose of the calculation must include any VAT on the costs incurred, whether that VAT can be recovered in part or in total. That is something that some employers will overlook. It will also include the cost of travel to and from the venue, the cost of the band or disco, and the table decorations, and the raffle prizes, etc. The key message to you all is that your employer or your client must monitor the full costs and keep within the budget if the employer wants to utilise the available tax relief. More good news, especially for employers with modest tastes and shorter pockets, is that this exemption can apply to more than one such annual staff function, but subject to the same conditions on being generally available to all staff, etc. This means that the exemption can apply to two or more such parties or functions if the cost per head of the exempt party or parties does not exceed the £150 exemption limit in aggregate. If the aggregate cost of two or more functions does exceed the £150 per head limit, the employer can choose which functions to apply the exemption to, and it might not be the costliest function per head. An example I found recently when reviewing information for a PAY settlement agreement was where a client had four separate, what I'd call, staff functions. There was a Christmas party attended by 62 people, costing £121 a head, a total of £7,502. There was a summer barbecue attended by 72 people, and the cost was only £22 a head, and the total cost £1,584. So the cost of those two functions, total of £143 per head, therefore qualifying. This employer also had a spring ball, which was attended by 144 people, and the cost per head was £64. The total cost of that function was £9,216. Then, at Christmas time, there was a chairman's dinner, which was attended by only 36 people. It cost £62 a head, and a total cost of £2,232. At first sight, you might think that the Christmas party, which cost £120 per head, should be included in the PAY settlement agreement. But looking at these figures, the total cost of that party was £7,500, compared to the spring ball, which cost £9,200. The spring ball and the Christmas party together can't qualify. The Christmas party and the barbecue, or the Christmas party and the spring ball, can qualify. So I would opt for the barbecue and the spring ball and be able to exclude from the PAY settlement agreement nearly £11,000 of cost. The PAY settlement agreement will have to deal with the liability for the Christmas party itself, that cost of £7,500. The Christmas party is taxable because of the £150 limit. The chairman's dinner is a different thing altogether, because that was not available to employees generally. So that cannot qualify for exemption, whether it fell within the limit or not. It is a taxable benefit, and that will be included in the PAY settlement agreement. Indeed, it has done already. Now, on that point, we do need to look at potential costs and decide if they can come within the exemption, or will they be more expensive because they're going to be taxable. Potentially, you've got a cost of £100 per head, but if it's taxable, it may be £150 a head, it may be £187 a head, or for a 50% taxpayer, it may be more than double the cost, over £200 a head. Now, what about the employer that cannot afford a company party, or perhaps the staff just don't want one? If I come back to an earlier point about cash gifts, I must warn that if the employer gives every employee, say £50, to go out and have dinner with your spouse or partner. That is cash. It would be regarded as earnings that should go through the payroll. However, if the employer allows employees up to £50 to spend on a staff function and reimburses the actual cost, the benefit should be exempt. I used to take my small team of people out for a meal and or a trip to the theatre at Christmas time, and I would submit an expense claim supported by receipts to obtain what I recall was £44 per head that we were allowed to spend. So all of the money came to me, but it was not a cash payment, it was a reimbursement supported by receipts for the actual cost, and therefore it was qualifying. Similarly, some employers give a budget of, say, £50 per head for individual departments to go out and have a Christmas lunch, which again will qualify for the exemption as being an annual event that is open to all staff, albeit that each department does their own thing. It wouldn't qualify if, say, only the finance department were allowed to do that. One of my clients always buys a supply of Christmas drinks for everyone in the office on Christmas Eve or on the last working day before breaking up for the holidays. Those costs I would not include in the PSA either, because it's an annual function available to all, and providing the cost comes within the overall limit, it's allowable. Finally, a warning on annual functions. The £150 limit is not an allowance. So if one function costs £165, you don't have £15 being taxable, you have the whole £165 being taxable. And again, a final reminder, it is very important to have the staff attendee figures or the number of covers so that you can prove that the function is exempt. Section 4, VAT and income tax disallowance. I will only touch on VAT very briefly because Andrew Walls and Tim Buss are the AAT's VAT experts, and they can cover the issue in greater depth on the CBD courses. Most VAT-registered employers should be able to reclaim the VAT on the cost of the employees attending an annual staff function. And if a nominal charge, perhaps £15 a head, is made for any spouses or partners that are invited as guests, the VAT on those costs should also be reclaimable. The sum charged for guests would be treated as VAT inclusive, and the VAT element will be paid over as output tax. At least that's what Andrew and Tim have assured me. Before I leave the party, some more words of warning about businesses that disallow the cost of staff functions, and indeed staff entertaining, in their tax computations, instead of dealing with it properly as a staff cost. HMRC does not accept that treating such costs as business entertaining and disallowable expenditure is correct, and hasn't done so since it issued a statement in Tax Bulletin 45 to the effect that the practice should not be adopted for accounting periods ending after the 30th of April 2000. Yes, more than 10 years ago. The tax charge on employees, especially senior staff liable at 40% and now 50%, is significantly higher than the tax cost of the disallowance. The grossed-up cost in a PSA for a 40% taxpayer is around 87% when Class 1B national insurance contributions on the benefit and on the tax paid by the employer are added to the bill. And as I've indicated already, for a 50% taxpayer, the tax cost more than doubles the overall cost. Section 5, benefits from third parties. Christmas is a time of good cheer, and some of the Christmas spirit might come from third parties, perhaps a customer or a supplier. We have to again rely on an exemption, and in Section 265 of ITPA 2003, there is an exemption for third-party entertainment provided to an employee or a member of the family or household if it is provided by a third party and connected with and not procured or arranged by the employer. This means that the offer of an invitation to a Christmas bash by a customer or supplier need not be declined, other than on company ethical policy grounds. Section 324 of ITPA 2003 provides an exemption for small gifts from third parties. They must be small gifts of goods made to employees or a member of their family or household, and they're exempt from tax if the following conditions are met. First, the gift is not provided by the employer or a person connected with the employer. Secondly, neither the employer nor a person connected with the employer directly or indirectly procured the gift. Then the gift is not made in recognition or in anticipation of particular services performed by an employee. Then the gift is not in cash or in vouchers or securities that can be converted into cash. And finally, the total cost to the donor, the third party of course, of all eligible gifts to the employees in a tax year does not exceed £250. The cost to the person making the gift includes any VAT paid, whether or not it is reclaimable. Where the cost of a gift or gifts an employee receives from the same third party in a tax year exceeds £250, tax will be payable on the full amount of the gifts, not just the excess. So a word of warning. Watch the full cost of that Christmas hamper, because the cost of delivery may take it over the £250 limit. I recall only a year or two ago, a client asked me for advice about a Harrods hamper that cost exactly £250. But the problem was the delivery charge of £5.95 took it over the limit. The client picked it up himself. Also remember that any gift will not qualify if it is cash or securities or a voucher that is convertible into cash. Section 6, summary. Christmas is coming, and the number of shopping and partying days is fast diminishing. But this podcast is a reminder to you that there is such a thing as a free lunch. Your employer or your employer clients can give a free lunch or dinner at Christmas or over the New Year period, and indeed at other times of the year. And it can be income tax and NIC free. The VAT can be reclaimed and the cost can be deducted from the profits. But it is very important to understand the conditions for exemption and to stay within the budget. And as I mentioned a couple of times, it's very important to have the records to be able to prove to an HMRC employer compliance officer that the event, the function, did qualify and that it was within the £150 exemption limit. I hope that this podcast will have been some help to all of you, and I thank you for listening. And in advance, wish you all a Merry Christmas.